Thanks, John, for that. And next we have Arts and Sciences student Nick Bros, who assured me that he needed no specialized introduction.
Well, you can see I already have an artistic interpretation of the AFK thing. I brought my keyboard. Okay, so I've got a kind of a work of poetic prose, so to speak, and then a short story that I'd like to read. First of all, I think I'll start with the short story, since it's, of course, the longer of the two. It's called Belial Lake. It goes, "The evening air was fresh, and the glittering water called. The young man obeyed and brought his boat to the water. He had struggled and sweat for hours, preparing the rigging." Thank you. Really? "It took still longer to drag the boat down to the water. Now finally the moment of launch had arrived. His parents had given him the sailboat, proud and untried. It was much like his father's. He would sometimes watch his father sail on the lake, the wind rising a forceful hand to draw the vessel up and over the waves, up and over wave after cresting wave. His father would beam as he returned to shore, glistening and used, but satisfied. The young man longed to feel the same satisfaction, to ride the inviting waves, to feel his gut lurch as he crested a great wave. It wasn't just his father. All his friends had their own sailboats, too, and each had tried their hand at sailing. Some went off and sailed alone on distant ponds, some cruised together on the same lake, driven by the same gale and that drew them forcefully along through the slapping, slurping water. He had spent his life bound to the shore, hearing, watching, but never experiencing. He yearned to change that. Of course, his parents didn't think he was ready. His father would smile and shake his head as he spoke of rigging sails and riding waves. Then he would touch the young man's shoulder knowingly and reassure him that it would be the best experience of his life when he was ready. It made his chest burn indignantly as he was told to be patient, that he would know when the time was right, that he was sure that that time was now. He would fantasize at night of finally sailing. Where no man had gone before, he would imagine. He pictured himself riding a sleek spacecraft through the void of space, delving deep into the universe, into the very core of creation. He wanted the chance to experience that journey. It was a voyage, a quest even. He was the valiant knight, nothing without his great steed. He was a leather-clad rebel, alone without his chopper. Even the hero needed one, and Voyager was his. He had taken great care in selecting the first waters he would sail. Some were public lakes, large and crowded, full of sharp debris, and surrounded by noisy onlookers. Others were small and unused, green and foul with stagnation. He wanted his first time to be on the perfect lake. And at last he had found it. It seemed so pure, so pristine. He doubted anyone had thought to sail here before, and it was distant enough that no one would jeer and stare as he sailed for his first time. He was immediately enticed by its siren's call. No lake before had stirred him so, and it was this resolution that drove him to risk everything for this brief chance to sail. The sun had begun to sink, giving the rippling lake a crimson hue as he grasped the bow tightly and thrust its bow forward. He felt exhilarated as it slid effortlessly from the rocky shore and into the welcoming waters. It all felt so right. He climbed up into the cockpit and curled his fingers around the mast as he secured the rigging. The lines were tight as the mainsail was drawn and ready. Manning a paddle, he guided the boat along, hoping for a breeze to rise and push him on. Everything had come to this moment of breathless excitement as his vessel rocked gently on the water. He could feel the air moving on his skin, the small hairs prickling with elation at the gentle touch. He was sure that the wind would rise to take him. He had, after all, taken great care in selecting the time and place. The forecast had promised strong winds, and he stood tall, waiting eagerly for them to begin. It took some minutes for him to realize that the promised winds weren't coming. In defiance of the truth, he paddled frantically, insisting in his mind that there were winds, that he merely imagined the sails hanging empty and flaccid. Perhaps he hadn't set up the rigging right. No, he was sure all was well. He shifted his weight excitedly in his paddling, mindless to the danger. He had been recklessly determined that his first time would be without a life vest. Those things were for the weak, that couldn't swim. Without warning, he felt a jolt as the boat struck a rock to his starboard side. The mast and sails pitched in the opposite direction, and he instinctively leaned with it. Before he realized what was happening, he found himself capsized and spluttering in the cold water. How much warmer it had looked from shore! As he clutched at the bow for support, he felt suddenly alarmed. The sun had fallen further, and the once crystalline depths now seemed murky and unknown. Swallowing his pride, he did his best to flutter kick his precious boat to shore, but to no avail. The mainsail may have been snagged by some skeleton tree, grasping for support from the watery abyss. He felt exhaustion building in his muscles, and paused to rest, desperately hugging his vessel to remain aloft. As the air about him grew steadily more chilled, he realized that he would have to abandon his treasure. He couldn't read Voyager's inverted stencils under the shadowy surface,